This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 today. We are talking about prayer, how we can pray for one another. And, you know, a lot of times our prayer times really are reduced more to, okay, this is the need I've got in my life, and can you join me in praying for that? And talking to the omnipotent King of Kings and Lord of Lords is really more than just pulling the emergency alarm that you might find and say, help, I need you to intervene in this situation. And so we're going through the Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be in about three different places in this six-chapter book. But we're concentrating right now on Ephesians chapter 1. So I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to our Wednesday night service. We have a young adult group. We have a children's class. We have an adult group and meets at 7. We're pretty respective of your time as far as the classroom portion goes. But I tell you what I've realized that about Merritt Assembly of God, and that is our people like each other, you know, which is a good thing. And so we can finish up with the study, the Bible study that we're doing, and the people will stand around and they will talk and enjoy fellowship with one another. There are a lot of times that those conversations end up being times where we pray for one another, and not anything that has to be coordinated or in the schedule, but literally somebody brings up a need in a conversation after the service is over and before they're walking out the door, say, well, let's pray about that. So there is a little bit of a parking issue at Merritt Assembly of God, so I want to tell you how you can find a parking spot. There is a if you don't know where Merritt Assembly of God is, there's a new restaurant that's called Ola, H-O-L-A, Cuban Kitchen, I believe it is. And it's either Ola Cuban Kitchen or Ola Cuban Cuisine. I think it's Kitchen. Great, great people, great restaurant. Very, very popular. And so they open at 4:30. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. And there's a lot of demand for parking spaces, and they're all on the street. They're all public parking spaces. So we have a parking lot that's on the corner of a Tangerine, and in between Grove and Parnell. And so if you don't find any parking along the street, there is a parking lot in the back. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. That'll be 7 o'clock tonight. Hopefully we will see you there. So today we're going to return to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 15 through 21, and we'll pick up in verse number 19. Paul writes, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know," and here's the first thing, "that you may know what is the hope of his calling." So we've talked about that. Then there's a second what. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That is the third what. So you know the first what, know the second what. Here's the third what. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, in which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So Paul writes the church at Ephesus and he says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you will know, that you will be familiar with, that you will be fully acquainted with, that you will understand what is taking place on your behalf. So this is more than I just have a pain. I have an affliction. And I need, this is spiritual development. This is spiritual enlightenment that God wants us to have in our Christian walk, because it will change the way that we live. So it says that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. So the word exceeding there means to surpass or to go beyond. So a lot of times, like I was at our district council here a couple of weeks ago, and part of that, there was a luncheon that was provided. There were some instructions that were given that were evidently misunderstood by me, and that was, hey, grab a seat at a table. They're going to bring the food out to the table, and you know, we'll go through this. Well, there were hundreds of people, and I was one of them that misunderstood and went and sat down at the table because I thought they were bringing the food to the table. What they meant by bringing the food to the table, they were going to be bringing the food out to the serving line, and so it was going to be more cafeteria style. And so I literally sat there for 45 minutes to an hour before the line thinned down enough to where it was all inside the air conditioning now at that point in time. And so then it was only a 15 or 20 minute wait to get to the food. Well, I've been enough to enough church potlucks to know that sometimes whenever you go through one of those lines that you can run out of food. And there were still plenty of people behind me and things like that. But when I got there, I was pleasantly surprised. There was still food that was available, and I got my lunch and survived and all of that. But my experience at some church dinners is that you can run out of the thing that you are there to partake of. And so about once a year, I will go first at a potluck dinner, and that's if they're doing something for pastor appreciation or my birthday or some special event. Outside of that, I'm the last one to go through. And the reason that I do that is I want the people from the church to make sure, I want to make sure that they get something to eat. And if we run out of food, it's not going to kill me. I can stop. I can get something. I can get a rotisserie chicken. I can stop at a restaurant. I can get something. I can go home. I can eat leftovers. I'm going to be fine. But I want to make sure that there's enough for everybody. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, I want you to know that I am praying for you that you will understand that what God wants to provide for believers on behalf of believers toward believers is an inexhaustible, immeasurable supply. It is beyond anything that you can comprehend. It is exceedingly, it is his exceeding greatness, his exceeding greatness. And so it goes beyond anything that you can imagine. And so when the Queen of Sheba came to investigate the things that she had heard in her kingdom, Solomon showed her everything. And she said, everything that I have been told, you have surpassed that. Your wisdom, your servants, everything that she had described to her, a lot of times statements of compliments are enhanced to where they're more overinflated than what the substance really is. She comes and spends time with Solomon and says, I didn't hear half of the reality of it. She said, you have exceeded what I have been told. And I can tell you this as a pastor, no matter how elaborate, no matter what quantitative device has been used, the half has not been told about the greatness of God. So whenever someone starts talking to you about how unfair God is, or, you know, how could God allow this to happen, I want to remind you what the Word of God says, and that is that God wants us to know His exceeding greatness, that His greatness goes beyond our circumstances, His greatness goes beyond what we are aware of, that we will know it to the best of our ability, but we are finite creatures and God's greatness is infinite. It just goes on and on and on. It is His immeasurable strength that is beyond our comprehension. God is great. So I made a request years ago. There's some songs that mention the greatness of God. Lamentations talks about great is thy faithfulness. You know, I sometimes will throw a quiz out there to people and say, you're familiar with the term great is thy faithfulness? And everybody will shake their head yes. And I said, do you know what book it's from? Because that's a statement that you would expect to find during a time of victory. You would not expect to find that statement from a prophet known as the Weeping Prophet, written in a book that is titled Lamentations or Mourning or Weeping. But Jeremiah had discovered that even in the most difficult circumstances, that God's faithfulness is great. Well, there's another song, and it is God is Great. It's a song by Hillsong. And I happen to just love that song. I said, look, if something ever happens to me physically and you gather to have a memorial service, a celebration of life, I want that song sung, because I want everyone to know how great God is. How would you describe your awareness on May the 21st? Let's not go back to January this year. January was a month I just as soon move on from in 2025. May the 21st. How would you describe the circumstances that you're going through, and would you be able to say at this point in time, God's greatness is exceeding my understanding? Okay, so the first thing that I'm striving to do here in this passage is to get a degree of comprehension about the true nature of God versus the nature of God that the enemy would like to project, that people who are going through difficult times, what happened? You know, either, you know, there's an argument among people who refuse to believe in God. Well, either God is not omnipotent, or he is not all good. And both of those claims are inadequate. They come from a lack of awareness. So they want to put the failures upon God. And Paul brings us back to the reality of the greatness of God. He said, it cannot be measured. It cannot be measured quantitatively, nor can it be measured qualitative. It is off the charts. It is his greatness. It is a manifestation of his nature. There is no shadow of turning within him. He is not a liar. He does not change. There's never going to be a new and improved version. Whenever you realize that there's an enemy in the world, sometimes because we see the ramifications of ungodly influences. We see the ramifications of living in a fallen world where sin is a everyday reality that leaves people battling for life, battling depression, battling discouragement, battling financially, battling physically, all of those sorts of things. Society would try and say, well, God must not be great. And Paul says, I'm praying for you in Ephesus, and I'm praying for you as a pastor here in Brevard County, that we will know the exceeding greatness of God. The exceeding greatness of God. And it says here that what Paul was looking for them to know was the exceeding greatness of his power. And that's the word that comes back from the way that I pronounce it, dunamis. It's probably dynamis because of the U's and the Y's. The exceeding greatness of his power. God is not feeble. God is never outsmarted. God is never too tired, too busy. A lot of those things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, in all honesty, last night was the best night's sleep I've had in several days. When I went to sleep last night, my wife said, okay, just so I know, because she takes longer to get ready of a morning than I do. And so she's like, tell me, are you getting up or are you sleeping in the morning? And sleeping in is a lot different now than it was, you know, when I was a teenager, you know, or when my kids were a teenager. I didn't get to do this when I was a teenager, but my kids used to get up at the crack of noon. They when they slept in on a Saturday, they got their money's worth. And, you know, sleeping in now sometimes looks like 6:30. On an occasional day, it might look like 7 or 7:30. But for the most part, we're up way earlier than we have been historically in our life. And I was like, man, I was sleeping so good. I could have stayed there for a while, but there were things that I needed to do. I needed to go in and pray. I needed to go in and study. I came in to do the radio program here today. Our body gets tired. It gets to the point where it needs rest. Occasionally my voice gets to the place where it needs rest. God never fatigues. He never grows weary. His power is actually promised to the church. And you shall receive power to be my witnesses. It is not about whether or not we have the wisdom or we have the strength. It is all about what God is capable of doing in us. And so Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, I don't want you to look at the activity or the strength or the magnitude, the scope of the enemy's power. I'm praying for you that you will understand the exceeding greatness of God's power. So when you see there's the power of God versus the power of the enemy, you may think that it's close. It's not. The power of the enemy is fractional, and it's a very small fraction compared to the quantity and the quality of the greatness of God. God is absolute holiness. He is absolute omnipotence. He has perfect and absolute knowledge. He is a God of perfect love. He has perfect wisdom, perfect knowledge. He was perfect in choosing us to be part of the family of God. His plan of going to Calvary, absolute perfection, baffled the rulers of this world with his wisdom. If they had known what God had in mind, they never would have done what they did to Jesus on the cross. So, as a child of God today, you and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But God wants us to be walking on a journey. And the reason that I'm saying as a journey is because since the greatness, the exceeding greatness of his power is immeasurable and incomprehensible to finite beings like ourselves, every day we can pray, God, I want to know you more. I want to know you better. I want to know what you are capable of. So I thank God. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, I'd never been trained on, you know, how to create a budget. I was always in the business world that I was in, they always told me what my budgets were. They told me what my goals were. They never told me how to come up with those numbers. And so I began to do some research and things like that. And a person said, I said, how do you formulate a budget? And he said, you guess. And it's like, well, that doesn't sound like a very sound strategy. And so I asked another question. I was like, when you're talking about creating a budget for a church, how do you do that when you don't know how many people come to church, are going to come to church, will continue to come to church? How do you know that? And you know, the answer was you guess. You look at you know the past and you do your best to put some guidelines in there, and you operate on that. And I said, Where does faith come in? Where does faith come in? And so I will tell you that God has been with us to better understand, you know, his ability to heal, his ability to save, his ability to bless, his ability to provide wisdom. And in the 30 whatever number of years that I've been doing this, I think 32 years currently, 32 and a half, we continue to find that God is capable of so much more than what I could have ever dreamed back when I first started, when there were 6 people plus my family, and then the next week there were 5, and the next week there were 4, and the total church budget was $13,000 the first year. And to see what God has done in all of those times, it causes me to know that he is able to do more out of his power than I could ever do out of mine. And so you might think that pastors never get discouraged. I would tell you most pastors I know get discouraged at times. There's a reason why I don't take Mondays off. But here's what I have found through all of the years of walking with God is he is better than what I ever dreamed. He continues to reveal himself in ways that just shows that life with him is getting sweeter and sweeter every day, and that he has the ability to provide supernaturally in ways that natural resources cannot compare. As a believer in Jesus Christ, recognize that no matter what your natural giftings are, God has the ability to work in you and through you with the exceeding greatness of his power. He knows the word better than we know the word. He sets us up with divine appointments, with divine opportunities, with divine connections, not so that people will see how great we are, but so that as we walk in obedience with his divine provision, people will see that God has exceeding greatness. His power is off the charts, and he will, I'm going to give you a little sneak preview here of where this verse goes. That power is working toward us who believe. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But God is for you as a believer. He is not going to get you to a place and then just abandon you. His plan is the best plan. My wife and I, last night, we were sitting around the dinner table and we were talking, and we were talking about how God's plan, his purpose, his provisions have been better than our understanding of the situation was. His mercy, his grace, his word. Fall in love with his word. I've had the benefit here of meeting an author several weeks ago, and ran into them again, and I was like, wow, the things that God had shared with that individual have been so inspiring, so thought-provoking. It's like, man, God is amazing. The exceeding greatness of his power doesn't just show up on occasion. I tell you, God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How he manifests that greatness in people's lives is all designed to bring him glory and honor and praise. And so I just want to, you know, encourage you to pray for one another. Pray for yourself. God, help me to know the exceeding greatness of your power better than I've ever known it before. Because I tell you, once you start that journey, you will never get to the end of it. You will just continue to be in awe of God day after day after day, challenge after challenge, trial after trial. You will just continue to say, wow. And not only is he God, he's my God. He's your God. He's working for you, and so that you will know how great and how glorious he is. May the greatness, the exceeding greatness of his power be at work in your life. Talk to him today and say, God, put that power to work here in Brevard County to build your kingdom and bring the lost to know Jesus as Lord. You have a blessed and glorious day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.